Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the next episode in our game of the Rocket Punch Game of the Year 2017 deliberations. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Cameron. Alongside me, my good old partner in crime, Will. What's going on, man?
Dude, I somehow still have my voice.
You still do. After all the stuff we've done so far, you're hanging in there. You're being a trooper, man.
I ain't dead yet.
Which, good. We don't need to die right now, although some of the stuff we talk about, they could make you die. They definitely could. That could happen.
From an aneurysm.
One could say that. One could say that, definitely. I know, but we're running smooth. We're going pretty quick here. I'd say pretty quick, but pretty smoothly with our Game of the Year deliberation so far.
I'd say so.
We've got a couple under our belt here. This is going to be the first one we're actually doing live on Twitch at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive. We'll get into some of the details there as we jump into the housekeeping in order to get this episode rolling. So we're not stopping anything. We got a lot to talk about here.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Exactly. You guys know what the Rocket Punch Cast is. What we're doing now for the month of January is we actually are going through our Game of the Year 2017 deliberations. What that entails, give you guys kind of the breakdown of how this is all working. Throughout the month of January, we have 10 different categories, and each category will get its own episode here on the Rocket Punch Cast. We'll be releasing those each week this month, so every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of January, you'll be getting a brand new episode from our Game of the Year deliberations. In those categories, each category has 6 nominees that Will and myself have picked up in order to, you know, vie for the top dog spot of that particular category. After we deliberate on those nominees, we will pick 3 finalists to go into the winner's circle. Then after that, we will choose one winner among those other 2. That one will be the winner, and the other 2 will be the finalist. We don't have a second or third place winner there. But the big thing here is us sitting and really deliberating and talking about these games and their respective categories and who should be top dog from all the games from 2017. And as we found already today, that sometimes it's harder, just sometimes it's easier. It depends on the category there and the games we slotted in there. As we've said before, each week, one of these categories will be streamed on Twitch. This is the one, biggest fail, so definitely hang tight for that. We're streaming this live on Twitch now. So if you are joining us in Twitch, definitely jump in chat, interact with us here as we're going through our deliberations. You guys can give your points for or against some of the games that we're going to be talking about this afternoon or this evening.
This evening, you know. Yeah.
But always remember, throughout January, make sure to come over to twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Each Sunday, you'll be able to tune in to each of those episodes that we decide to stream. And the Game of the Year, the final deliberation at the end of the month, will be on stream. So definitely, you want to be there for that. As always, are you confused by all this Game of the Year stuff? There's one easy place to go, rocketpunchgo.com. You can go to rocketpunchgo.com/GOTY. From there, you can actually see all of the categories, all the nominees, when those episodes are going to go live. And then as we get the winners for each respective category, they'll be posted live on there as well. So you'll be able to look there, see what we picked, go directly to the episode as it goes live so you can listen why we picked it. And you can also go, if you have not done so yet, rocketpunchgo.com/GOTY, go vote in our People's Choice polls. Basically, this gives you the chance. You can vote in all of the categories and nominees that we have picked. And let your voice be heard. Let us know what you think of our categories and what you think should win, respectively, as in our Game of the Year awards. And you can vote multiple times in that. You don't have to vote just once. You can do as many times as you want to. And at the end of the month, we'll be going through and parsing those out and getting the final statistics for our Game of the Year stuff. So you guys have got all month to vote as many times as you possibly can in our Game of the Year talks there.
Yes, indeed.
So that's most of the overhead stuff, right? That we've gotten so far?
Yeah, apparently. That's it.
Okay. Now, before we jump into this stuff, of course, 2 things we always want to mention. If you love what we're doing, you love our Rocket Punch content, you can always go to patreon.com/RocketPunch. Little as $1 a month, you can help support the show, help us support some of the stuff that we've got planned and we're going to do for 2018, and keep the lights on, as we like to tell people as well. Again, patreon.com/rocketpunch. You can go help support us there. Get awesome, cool bonus content in the mix as well. And also as well, with the Game of the Year stuff, Will and I do our best. Sometimes we spoil ourselves, but we do our best to make sure that we try to steer away from spoilers as best as we can. But there may be instances when we're talking about our respective categories that we have to bring up spoilers, in which case we will definitely do our best to give you a spoiler warning ahead of time, letting you know that we are going to bring some spoilers in. So if you got to mute it, mute the audio, maybe skip ahead a few minutes there. We're going to give you the heads up there, because so, if you don't want your game ruined, then we're definitely going to protect you from that, or do our best to.
Yeah. Let me know if you can hear my mic now, if you don't mind. Apparently, my mic may or may not have been working.
Ooh. Ooh, mine's working. Give us a tap. Yeah, you should be on.
Okay. Well, Silent Time 47, if you do, or Silent Tim, let us know if you're having any other issues with our stuff, please.
Yeah, please let us know there. This is the first episode of our Game of the Year coverage that we've actually streamed on Twitch.
So this is
exciting times. Ooh.
Agreed.
Most definitely. So let's jump in. We got the rigmarole out of the way. We got the housekeeping done. Let's dive right in. This category is a fun one. It is the category probably that you do not want to win, per se. Don't necessarily want to win. What we're going to be talking about tonight on stream for our next Game of the Year episode is the award, Rocket Punch Game of the Year 2017 award, for biggest fail. And everybody's like, oh man, this might be good, might not be good, and we'll see here. Giving a description of what we mean by biggest fail, reading from our website here, the biggest fail is awarded to an event or game that caused a sizable controversies within the gaming industry and community in the prior year. This is going to be your game that caused some type of feather ruffles or hullabaloo that may have sizably impacted the industry, or just may have been just like such a big fail that was just like, oh my God, what were you even thinking? What were you doing messing that up? How could you even do that? And so that's what we're looking for in this category here. It's one of the fun ones we like to do. And fortunately for us, this is the first one we decided to stream on Twitch. So the categories, the nominees for biggest fail are the Mass Effect Andromeda launch, NBA 2K18 microtransactions, the Nintendo Switch Online app and functionality in 2017.
Or lack thereof.
The PewDiePie debacle, the Middle-Earth Shadow of War Orc DLC debacle, or the Star Wars Battlefront 2 launch.
And everything entailed with that.
That's all wrapped up in a nice little bow for you there. So, without further ado, let's deliberate. Let's go through these nominees here. I don't want to walk through this. Let's get one of the big obvious ones out of the way. I'm going to go based on our list here now. Number one, the Star Wars Battlefront 2 launch.
Yeah.
What do you guys say about that one as far as biggest fail?
So let's see, how about we start with the fact that if you pre-ordered, like, what was it, the special version of the game, like the $100 version you got?
I've lost track, I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, if you pre-ordered the game and you had a certain tier of it or higher, you got a few days extra early access. So when a game normally comes out, it's like a Tuesday or something like that, right?
Usually, in the US, yeah.
Yeah, so it came out, and yeah, cool, so it came out on that day for everybody pre-ordered. Everybody else got it like that Friday.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, early access. Some games have been doing it. Yeah, lately.
Early access. It's ready for prime time, but you know, those who want to pay a little more get it when it should have come out.
Look, man. Hey, if they wanted to pay the extra money, not go for it. But
then on top of all of that, a lot of your character progression was locked behind the paywall that was their paid loot boxes.
Yeah. I guess giving a quick rundown for people who may not, for some reason, lived under a rock and do not know what we're talking about. There was a huge hullabaloo over the Star Wars Battlefront 2 launch when they had the early access like a month or so earlier. A lot of people started doing math and figuring out, man, the loot boxes and the microtransactions, you have to grind a lot. Like, I think somebody was saying 40 hours, 40 or 50 hours just to get enough credits to get one either Darth Vader or Luke Skywalker.
Not both.
And that's if you didn't buy anything else for that entire duration of gameplay. It kind of felt very much like you had to pay extra money in order to get the credits to get those characters in Battlefront 2. So, of course, EA says, hey, we're going to look at it, take your feedback, whatnot. A month later comes down, people, as you talked about, get access, early access to the game ahead of the official launch of the system. And boy, were people mad. Because the progression system really hadn't changed. You could definitely, if you listen to one of our prior episodes, the Extra Life episode where we had Seth back on, and he gave a very impassioned talk and discussion about Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
And the progression they were, I guess the route they were going to. But I mean, this was, from an industry standpoint, this was such a huge deal. Like, people, this ended up like in the public eye. EA was losing money, CNN money, and all these other stock marketplaces had like EA stocks going down. Woo, it's crashing. Sell. And
well, it gets worse than that.
Good.
As far as all this goes, like, people were spending money on crystals that you would use to buy loot boxes and whatnot. But it wasn't clear that you couldn't use those crystals to buy characters. You can only use credits to buy characters.
Mm-hmm.
So people spent real world money, $80 equivalent, and weren't able to pick up these characters. It gets even better. 60,000 credits to get Darth Vader.
It was ridiculous. And
it's even better. Somebody did the math. If you wanted to spend money to unlock everything in the game, it would have been over $2,000.
That's
real. If you wanted to spend real world money.
Oh, man. And then basically what ended up happening.
No. It gets better, because then they had this Reddit post to respond to everything. And it ended up becoming the most downvoted Reddit post in history. 675,000 downvotes.
Yep. I think that's what it was, around 600,000 last time I checked. Because this was basically what they were trying. They came out with this Reddit post. It made people, gamers, even more furious. So they went in and said, hey, we're going to take all of the credits and discount them by half. So it's only going to take you half as much.
75%.
75%, okay.
It gets better, though. They took the end campaign bonus of 20,000 credits for finishing the campaign and dropped it down to 5,000.
Yeah. All of, basically, the amount you needed to get the people were discounted by 75%. But the amount you earned in regular gameplay was also discounted by 75%, which made that completely wash. And eventually, what ended up happening with the story is that I think Bob Iger from Disney called EA, who's the studio that does the game?
It's DICE that makes DICE. It, but I believe they actually called just EA.
They called Peter Sutherland, one of the CEOs of EA, and apparently after a discussion, right before launch, EA comes out and says, we're taking microtransactions out of the game, period. They're being removed. We will add them at a later date. We are completely sorry about this entire ordeal. That was just a big...
When Disney has to call you up to say, stop messing with my property. I've got a movie coming out that's worth more than you.
I hate saying it that way, but I could see corporations say stuff like that.
Well, no, I mean, let's just be real. That's probably something Disney CEOs would say.
Yeah.
It's like, look, calm your shit.
It's just, there was so many things wrong with this entire scenario. Silent Tim 47 in chat brings up a good point. I feel like the EA response wasn't very good either. I'm right there with you. Like, that whole 75% thing, it sounded cool, but then I remember when I found out that they also decreased the amount that you got. That was like, okay, that's some lowdown stuff going on there. And just, it felt like every step of the way in this entire scenario, EA could not catch a break. And this is at the tail end of a year where microtransactions have really been at the forefront of controversy all year long. Like, every time a game came out with microtransactions, it felt like they were coming out and saying, this is not how you do microtransactions. You're doing it wrong. There was some controversy around it. As we can see, at least half of the categories we have in Biggest Fail for this year have some tie into microtransactions in some form or fashion. And I feel like, me personally, I feel like this EA and Battlefront 2 launch was just a culmination of just most horrible way to implement microtransactions ever. And it really, really felt like it was just a company trying to see how much they can get away with it. With.
Yeah.
Like how far can we push the boundary before you say, how hard can we twist your arm before you say, oh, ooh, uncle.
Apparently, not very far when it comes to that.
In House of Gray in chat says, EA doesn't desire a break. Apparently not. I mean, I feel like, especially looking at our nominees here, they've kind of had a little bit of a rough year, rough going of it.
You know. But I think the next one has had a rough year as well.
That's true. We're there, but we're going to get to him in a second. But like any other final thoughts on the Battlefront 2? I mean,
Being the most downvoted post in Reddit history, and one of
by a large margin. Like,
oh no, the last one was like 28,000. This is 675,000 plus. So,
yeah, it's a large margin here, and just this whole like, why EA? I feel like they were just trying. Maybe they felt like Star Wars was a sell. It didn't matter. People are going to buy it because of Star Wars, so we can do whatever we want to in that game. And then I heard the story that Seth gave us about the star card and how that's used to level up your item, not necessarily gameplay experience. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that makes no type of sense. So basically your gameplay experience is based on luck?
Yeah, entirely, which is, I'm not okay with at all.
No, I mean, House of Grey says EA doesn't deserve a break. Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, like that whole scenario, I don't think anyone gave them a break. At all, like it's gonna be hard pressed in 2 years to see what they do with Battlefront 3. And actually, I didn't even bring this up, but I think that why this is on Biggest Fail, and we'll talk about it in one of the other categories we have. I think a biggest impact as well is how this particular story, because of how bad EA dropped the ball on this, how this could potentially shape the future of microtransactions, or at least how developers look at it.
Oh, no, absolutely. It definitely will have some impact on how microtransactions are handled moving forward.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. But, yeah, I think we can all agree the Star Wars Battlefront 2 launch, EA, they earned a spot on our list for Biggest Fail, one of the nominees here. But let's jump over to the next nominee, the PewDiePie debacle.
Which one? Because there were a couple this year.
I mean,
we just wrapped it
it's,
all. It,
yeah, it's PewDiePie. If you know who PewDiePie is, if you're listening, big streamer, very popular. I think one of the most popular, if not the most popular streamer. I think he has like 50 million subs.
He's got over 50 million subscribers on YouTube.
You've got some of the stories pulled up. Let's run us and the viewers that are watching on Twitch. Just to get a refresher, what the hell happened with PewDiePie this year?
Okay, so he had two incidents. The most recent one is he was streaming some PUBG, and he did drop a racial slur. You know which one I'm talking about. You can guess which one it is. I'm not going to repeat it.
Not cool.
And so it was, people have clipped it. I've got the Kotaku article up, and they actually have screen caps of people tweeting at him about it, and reactions and all that stuff. Yes, I would agree with you, House of Grey. He is a total dirtbag. So yes, that was the most recent one. Of course, I'm pretty sure he was drinking during all that, but alcohol doesn't stand as an excuse ever.
It's true. You're very correct.
So the first one though, and this was, I think, the bigger one, is he got on Fiverr.
That
happened in 2017. It was,
I remember,
February.
That.
And he paid some guys to hold up some anti-Semitic signs and have it on video. And, of course, you know, he got caught because he posted it. And so The whole at the end of the day, Felix decided that it was going to be funny as part of a bit he was doing. And I hate to break it to you, but being anti-Semitic or, hateful in any way is not cool. He did, what was it? One of them said death to all Jews. The other one said Hitler did absolutely nothing wrong. Millions of people died because of Hitler, and I'm not cool with killing off people just because of what they are.
You don't have to justify, hating Hitler. Don't worry, believe me, it's 2017, everybody.
No, I know. I mean, if I had a time machine, that'd be one of the things I'd do is, Hitler? Boom! Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
So those two things together ended up causing another big issue in the YouTube community, which restricted a lot of the streaming capabilities that some people have. Partially, which caused another thing that's on another one of our categories, the whole Nintendo YouTube streaming policy.
Ooh, yeah, okay. The biggest impact.
That was probably, more than likely, that was a response based off of the things that were happening with this and YouTube Red. YouTube Red lost some business. They pulled away from him. Disney pulled a lot of their advertising from...
Well, they lost their endorsement from Disney. That's a huge one. He lost YouTube Red. Basically, I think that show scare PewDiePie or something like that.
Yeah, that's gone. He had another show he was working on with Jacksepticeye, which is gone now. Maker Studios, which was owned by Walt Disney Company, is no longer in business with him.
Yeah, I mean, so and it shows kind of. Number one, PewDiePie, I think, was at the top of a list of just from 2017. What I didn't know we had to draw a line, but draw a clear line as to what you can or can't do or show as content creators. Because we're content creators. We're streaming on Twitch for you. And we do a podcast and all sorts of crazy stuff. But we're not going to sit here. I'm not going to sit here on stream and play PUBG.
That's not our forte.
Play PUBG playing, and I'm gonna drop some anti-Semitic talk or something like that. It's not gonna happen here at Rocket Punch. You can sleep soundly at night knowing that is not gonna happen. And
I don't think you have to say that.
And I just think that these are just bonehead moves. And from a guy who was generally at the beginning of the year on top of the world, where he is now, a lot of the businesses
he was making $7+ million a year. He was literally set for the rest of his life to never have to do a day of actual work. It was all going to be digital work and content creation, which is work, but it's a different kind of it. He was never going to have to actually do real work. But a lot of his boneheaded moves, as well as a couple other people on the streaming side, ended up causing restrictions on other companies and what they allow to be streamed. Now, this is going to be under our biggest impact category, but Nintendo's YouTube policy.
Good, yeah. House of Grey was asking more about that. We're not going to get too much into the weeds.
Because we have a whole episode dedicated to impact on things, and that is part of it. But essentially, the YouTube policy from Nintendo is if you're not on their list of approved streamers, you can't stream Nintendo games. Not on YouTube.
And even now, even if you're on that list, there are some games you can or can't stream, and it's gotten so in the weeds now.
And now, essentially, it all has to be pre-made content, and it has to be a certain way. It has to conform to certain standards, or you're not allowed to do it.
And actually, even just talking on that one tangent here for House of Grey, one interesting thing is that this is only for YouTube. We had to figure this out. You can stream on
Nintendo stuff on Twitch.
On Twitch all day, but on YouTube, it's more or less kind of boiled down to now it just has to be pre-made videos that are approved by Nintendo in order to be even shown. Otherwise, they're going to slap you with you could lose your channel.
Yeah.
At the maximum, you can get slapped with a suit. A lot of crazy stuff. It's in the weeds. A lot of crazy stuff happens. But one of our episodes, Biggest Impact, House of Grey. If you're interested in that, definitely be on the lookout for that episode. We're gonna dive deep. That's one of the nominees for that category.
And actually, we're gonna be streaming that one live on the 14th.
Okay, so there you go. No problem. We got you, House of Grey. And I wanted to bring this point up as well, because if you're into the YouTube community and the streaming community, then I'm sure everybody's heard of the recent issues with Logan Paul. and his visit to Japan and the suicide forest, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And it's just like really, again, like driving that home is like, this is what you do when you're a content creator. This is what you don't need to do when you're a content creator. And I think that PewDiePie was just kind of the big headliner because of how many subscribers he has and how much influence. That was the big thing here. How much influence he has, especially with a younger audience. And we're, showing them that, hey, it's okay to say anti-Semitic and racial slurs on stream to a bunch of people for no context, just other reason to like for kicks. Like, come on.
It was part of a bit or a gag he was doing, and it's never okay to really make fun about killing a whole race of people.
Yeah.
Definitely. Regardless of who you are.
And so I just like, as a content creator, and I think like as fellow content creators, it was kind of just like really sad for us. I know us here at Rock Punch to kind of see that from PewDiePie and what he was rolling with and doing. Next category. Clicking on my tabs here. The Mass Effect Andromeda launch. You remember this?
Yeah.
I hope
so much crap for the animation.
I hope people on, if you're watching on Twitch or you're listening in the car, maybe you remember this. It was a huge deal. Nothing as drug out like the first two nominees, but with the Mass Effect Andromeda launch, it was really a lot of... How could I put this? Like, it's Mass Effect. Most of the people in chat are probably big fans of Mass Effect in some regards, or at least one of them. You know, you had Mass Effect 1, you had Mass Effect 2, you had Mass Effect 3 come out. Hype is building. Mass Effect Andromeda. We saw the trailer. Oh, dude, we're getting ready. Dude, this looks great. Looks awesome. We finally get to the point of getting to Mass Effect Andromeda. They had, I think, one of the more notorious ones with the facial animations were like Uncanny Valley stuff. Everything looked awful. It performed horribly. And the reason this was on the biggest fail list was mainly because, like, I think at the end of the day, Mass Effect Andromeda is not a bad game. A lot of outlets were like, this isn't a bad game. But
it's just not Mass Effect tier.
Where it was talking about Mass Effect tier, this was nowhere near it. And what kind of helped earn its space here on Biggest Fail was kind of what Wills got pulled up here about the development.
And I actually shared the link in chat. Jason Schreier did an awesome article on why Andromeda is the way it is.
Yes. And this came a few days or a few weeks after the launch of the game. A lot of fans were disappointed. The game felt rushed. It didn't feel complete. Had a lot of graphical, technical glitches, bugs, all sorts of stuff.
Yep.
Guess what? The reason it felt rushed was because it kind of was. I think I know one of the big summaries from that article was that I think the bulk of Mass Effect Andromeda was built in the last year of development.
Yes.
And it you might be sensing a theme here. It really felt like EA might have been trying to push us out the door and say, hey, it's Mass Effect. It'll sell. Here you go. Well, yeah.
It actually speaks to what happened with this. If you look at the just the animation for dialogue from 2007, 10 years later in 2017, it looks like it should be running on an Atari versus an Xbox 360.
In full disclosure, we bought the game. I got it digitally. Yeah. Digital purchase.
And unfortunately, I did too.
And I remember when the game first was out, it looked rough. It looked like a 360 game, especially from some of the vistas and stuff that we've seen. You really saw it. He's watching the video of like when you zoomed in on the facial animations. It was completely dead. It looked like their faces got shot with Botox, and they're just moving their mouth like, hey, how are you doing today? Welcome to this planet. Maybe I'm over-exaggerating a little bit, but...
No, you're pretty close.
And it really didn't... Like, it wasn't... Like you said, it wasn't bad. It just wasn't a Mass Effect game, and that's what was the biggest fail and the biggest disappointment. That and the fact that it on the back end from the expose from Kotaku that this game was not ready for prime time. People would have hated the fact that if it had gotten delayed, oh my god, Mass Effect got delayed another year or two. But especially hindsight, it's 2020, looking back now, if they'd
given it another year or two, it probably would have been amazing.
Well, if they had known the games that we were going to get this year, fans would have been fine with it. But, oh, we're getting Zelda, we're getting Horizon, we're getting Nier, we're getting Neo, we're getting Cuphead, we're getting all these other games. Oh, sure, push Mass Effect Andromeda, push it back. Because you got to remember, too, this was early in the year.
Mm-hmm.
Resident Evil, yep. Horizon Zero Dawn, Zelda Breath of the Wild. Like, Horizon, Zelda, and Mass Effect were within like a month of each other. All those were released within a month. You don't remember that?
I remember because I was trying to squeeze in time with, was it Mass Effect or Horizon?
I don't know. I was trying to figure
Zelda
out.
Zelda came out because Zelda ended up.
Horizon first, then Zelda, then Mass Effect.
That's what it was. Okay.
Because I think we were like.
No, because Mass Effect was the end of March.
Yep. And we were like, man, I feel bad for Mass Effect. I want to play it, but Zelda's here. Like, oh.
Yeah, about that Zelda life.
I really feel like EA didn't give. Maybe it was EA, maybe it was the dev team that link in the chats has the whole story, but I really feel they did not give Mass Effect Andromeda the chance it needed. Now, that being said, I do want to preface by saying that we're, what, 8-9 months removed from that entire experience?
Yep.
From what I have heard, the game is much better now. I did get, when they had the big update to fix the facial animations, they did a much better job. Got those corrected. Good job, BioWare. But the game is better. I think it may be a little too late for BioWare and Mass Effect.
I mean, I'll go back and start over and play with it.
I mean, we'll play it eventually, but, and a lot of outlets have been talking about this, we may not see a Mass Effect game for a very long time, especially with some of the stuff they talked about. Hey, we've moved the team over to Anthem. There's not a new development for Mass Effect right now. It's going to be a couple of years before we see that. And it's all because of, again, some studio devs or publishers looking at this brand and saying, this is a brand that sells. Just push it through. Just go. We got to get it out in this corner. Don't worry. It's got the Mass Effect name on it. It's got the Star Wars name on it. We're going to sell money like hot. We're going to sell games like hotcakes. Don't even worry about it. And guess what? We can do patches later. We can fix it later. But it was, in the case of Mass Effect Andromeda, it was a little too late, in my opinion.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
But that was Mass Effect.
Yep.
Let's talk about an interesting one. And this one kind of made me upset. Because it messed with charities. And I don't like when people mess with charities. I do not. The next nominee is the Middle Earth Shadow of War Orc DLC. Do you remember this? You know what I'm talking about?
Not really. Okay. I heard about it because of you, but I don't remember seeing it spike on my feed.
I mean, I'll pull up some notes just to make sure I'm talking about this right. Basically what happened is that if you remember leading up to Middle Earth Shadow of War, there was a huge incident that one of the developers on the team, let me see if I can pull his name up because I do not want to mess this up. No. Looking for the name. What is it? It was a dev on their dev team. During the making of this game, he actually passed away, which is really unfortunate. And the guys at WB, the game people making this game, they said, hey, you know what? We're going to support this guy. What we're going to do is we're going to make this orc DLC that kind of looks like him. And basically is this orc you can recruit in Shadow of War. It's going to look like him and kind of do it in his honor. And we're going to charge like $5 for it. And yeah, we're going to charge $5 for it. And then all the proceeds are going to go for a fund for the family. Help the family out.
Okay, sounds legit.
They started talking and releasing this information. Yeah, I found the guy's name. Mike Forgy, Forthog, was the guy's name. And that's what they called the orc in the chat here. He was an executive producer who passed away during the game's production. DLC, but costs money. I'm pulling the quote here from this article that I've pulled up. What happened was like when they talked about it would cost money, be $5, and that what they were saying, quote unquote, the DLC would cost money, but all profits would go to the deceased's family. Quote, WB Games will donate $3.50 of every Fort Hog Orc Slayer purchase to the Forgy Found family through December 31st, 2019. From this initial announcement, though, it seemed as though this only applied to sales made in the U.S. And here's where the huge deal came out. Number one, here are my strikes here. Number one, you're charging the DLC. Okay, that's fine. But then you're saying, no, not all of it's going to the family. Just a portion of it. Just $350.
Well,
okay, I want to help charity, but what's going on with this?
Well, I could see some cost in making the character model and all of that, but...
Here's the other thing. In the it's the little asterisk at the bottom of the thing before when you're reading it. Get like, you know, the commercials where it says like, you know.
And then you have a text of...
Yeah, the huge text like I run through and you're like, oh, I didn't read all that. This is what this is.
You got to have a DVR to be able to pause it.
Not every... Depending on where you bought the DLC in the United States, not... If you bought it in a particular state, if it wasn't on the list, those proceeds didn't... All the $350 did not go to the family. They didn't explicitly say that, but they never, it was very much omitted from their text. It's like only applicable in these states.
Because of different laws for each state, depending on what's allowed to be.
Probably. Behind. And then that's number two. Then number three, there were other countries that didn't even say that if you bought it in other countries, it was more or less inferred that outright, if you bought it, none of the money was going to the family.
Now, you got to be clear and upfront about all that.
And that was one of the big things as well, is that they were as clear as mud describing what was going on with this and how this worked. And people voiced their concern. And so WB came out and they tried saying, hey, we hear you. And again, tone deaf executives, you know, here's a little bit more information, but still not the information you want.
Still no bueno.
And what ends up happening is that I read from their blog, and the issue has been cleared up now. An official announcement that the DLC ended up being free for everyone. For absolute clarity, our intention was always to give all the profits from the DLC worldwide to the Forgy family. The post reads, goes on to say, we now recognize that tying our donation to sales of the DLC was not the best way to achieve our goal of offering financial support to the family and creating a lasting memorial to Michael Forgy. We sincerely apologize to the fans and to the Forgy family for the confusion we created. You think? Why didn't you just... How hard was it to say, look, this is one piece of character. All the money that we get from this DLC goes straight to the family. Or even just as they ended up doing it, it took a long path to get them to it. We're just going to make a large lump sum payment to the family. Like there was a reason they had everything worded in there, and it felt very scum and villainy-esque to me. As a player, and I was like, this is some lowdown stuff. Like I said, I don't like it when people mess with charities. I hate it. Hate it.
Fair enough.
But yeah, and as Darth Turner says in chat, some of this has to do with taxing and whatnot, I'm sure, which it did. But the messaging was atrocious. It was horrible. I hated every ounce and minute of it. They could have been done so much better with... provide if they wanted to do something that nice. I don't see how, like, it's one character, and you know there's coding and whatnot involved in that, but how much goodwill would it have been? Hey, look, it's $5, you get this awesome orc. If you pay for the DLC, all that money's going to go to the family. You know, we can understand if there are some tax laws, you have to figure that out. Be clear about it. We understand about tax laws and stuff and DLC sales in other countries. Be clear about it,
guys. Look, we all have to pay taxes. We get that they suck. Just be clear about, hey, because your states have these weird laws, we can't do this here.
Taxation is theft.
hey, he's not wrong.
It's just, this was one that really, like, for me, earned a place here. I was just, oh, like, come on. They're smart people. These are executives and publishers and whatnot. They're very intelligent people.
Being an executive does not make you smart.
This is true, but I'm giving them some credits. WB, they made some awesome games, and like because of their ambiguity, it really kind of nipped them in the butt. Now, granted, once they came out and said it's free for everyone, we're just gonna give a lump sum to the family. Everybody's kind of like, okay, we calm down. That's cool.
Yeah, they actually at least had a resolution that got the heat off of them at the end, unlike some other people.
That's true. But this could have easily been a lot worse, and it would have been really, really bad. I dare say this could have been like lawsuit stuff, depending on how it could have shaken out. How it could have shaken out. Any other thoughts on the Orc DLC?
No, you've laid everything out.
Okay. I was a little impassioned about that one, but like I said, I don't like when people mess with charities. I don't. I hate it. Let's talk about the fun one. It wouldn't be a game of the year talk without some Nintendo in our biggest fail. Just a little bit, not a whole lot. But this was a big one.
Yeah.
Nintendo Switch Online functionality.
And app.
Will, I got to take a minute. I got to drink some. Take it away. Give us the lowdown.
Well, first off, Silent Tim, he's got a soft drink of some sort, I believe.
We, in preparation for the stream, we went to Burger King.
Yeah.
To get something because that was the closest we had. I should have asked for a crown. I would have worn it on stream, but I didn't.
Yeah, I'm disappointed in you now.
Man, look, man, I'm trying. I'm trying.
All right. So it's been updated. And right now, when it first came out, the online app did not have functionality to where if the phone went to sleep or the app was in the background, where it would actually run. It had to be in the foreground at all times.
No, look, I mean, you're not putting enough passion into this. This is crap. Oh my god.
Hang on. Let me get there. Cam, let me get there. It gets better though, because the actual paid service that was going to involve SNES games and everything else, that's been pushed back to fall of 2018.
That was, hey, it released in March. Hey, we're going to release it at the end of 2017.
Yeah.
No, actually, we're going to release it at the beginning of 2018.
No,
actually we're going to release it in fall of 2018. Holy crap.
Because I don't think they understood the level of work that goes into making an actual online system.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and post a link in there, just like the latest update. And
Let me get on the horse here for a second.
Let me
go and talk about this.
Get on your thing, man. Like I've already been angry once this episode talking about PewDiePie, so
simmer down. I got you. Nintendo. I think it can easily be said that Nintendo's made a lot of right moves this year. Nintendo Switch. I'm gonna just go ahead and encompass
Legend of Zelda,
that
Mario Odyssey.
Just encompass everything involving the Switch has generally so far gone pretty well. This being an exception. The Super NES Classic Edition. We've definitely seen and heard of a lot more stock coming in, especially going in and people's voices being heard and Nintendo coming out and saying, look, we're going to make more than we anticipated. We're going to bring the NES Classic back next year. We're going to make more of those so everybody can get a chance to get these things. They finally realized that if you make it, you will make money. Make monies. But that being said, Nintendo's still Nintendo. Nintendo's going to Nintendo. And they always have some bumps in the road. And I think this year, this was one of their big ones. You undersold that app completely. Like, in 2017, that is not the app you released. The official Nintendo voice chat app, like you said, it had to be running. I.e., it had to be on your smartphone active.
Yes, it did.
Could not be in the background. You had to have, I remember this huge chart in order to hook headphones to your phone. You had to have this adapter and have this other set of headphones and another mic in order to get this to work. Number four, you had to have a phone. You didn't have to. You couldn't use your Switch or any other device in order to get this thing running or playing on it at all. It was completely and utterly ridiculous. And Nintendo's better than that. Even at just like a basic level, in my opinion, you can do better than that. Nintendo can do better than that. And that app was just completely broken from the get-go. I mean, like, I remember seeing that, and I was like, then why am I not on Discord?
Yeah, honestly, at that point, at least the Discord app works.
Yeah, like why am I going to do this Nintendo app? I just go on Discord. And sure, they had some cute functionalities. I mean, cute functionalities, but the app was the only way, if you were playing Splatoon 2, that you could join teams. had to use the app in order to join a party and do a lot of the functionality that should be on the system. And this was baffled a lot of people in 2017. You got PC, you got Xbox One, you got PS4, where you can do all this stuff. I can go in the app, say, when we join on PS4 parties, it's like, join a party.
Oh, you mean how we don't have, we just pop in, pop out, all that doesn't matter as long as we're friends and we've authorized it?
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it's ridiculous. It's utterly ridiculous. And that was the big one for me. I think it's on the biggest fail list, at least for me, because they can do better. Nintendo can and has shown to do better, and I'm not sure what's holding them back on that particular. So, you're typing. You're fixing the audios like a good, cool, good technician, man. Look at you.
No, it may be on your computer side.
Oh, maybe our computer side?
Because the interface is fine.
Okay, cool. I'll double check that. While I double check, Blop1 in chat says, nice beard guy on the right. Props to the beard. It's okay. You're blowing his head up too much. Calm down.
No, man. Hey, look. The fact that I shave my head because I'm going bald makes the beard look bigger. That's okay. Once you join me,
it's going to look, this is about look, as far as that.
Calm down, Vegeta.
All my hair is going up on the top, not on the bottom.
Vegeta.
We've got one more nominee for biggest fail. And this is I'm going to let you pull up the story here while I give the intro. Because I gotta fix the audio. I gotta fix the computer.
No.
I'm going to let you talk about it for a little bit. I'm not going to leave you hanging. We're going to talk about. Again, there's a trend here, microtransactions, in regards to NBA 2K18. There were a lot of different microtransaction stories, but this one, from what I've read and seen, really just took the cake as far as just, like, complete bombs and, like, why would you even make these moves here? I'm going to let Will talk through this. I'm going to go fix the audio. I'll be right back.
All right. So... Hey, well, Block One, you're not wrong. The big issue with 2K18 is you could essentially pay to win on everything. But you had to pay for like haircuts, facial hair, tattoos. It was all over the place as far as that goes. I mean, it's just one of those. It's very weird because you play through the game to get different attributes, and you got to be able to level those up. To level some of those up, though, you have to pay in-game currency. Well, you could buy more in-game currency with real money to be able to level your stuff up faster, aka pay to win. So, you know, hey, if you don't have time but you have money, you can pay to get the best stats possible on your custom character before you go in and play online. It's very weird, but, I mean... I don't know. They had, let's see, for $2 you got 5,000 of their VC credits, and then $100 got you 450,000 VC credits. So.
100,000 VC credits? Wow!
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really not enthused by anything 2K18. I know things blew up around this because it essentially just made pay to win pretty common, just kind of like Star Wars Battlefront 2, really. Yeah, except didn't this come out before Battlefront 2?
It was in that dark pit hole of fall microtransactions. Oh,
you mean the time when we were actually trying to get ready to spend time with family and whatnot? These shit games came out and just tried to rip everyone a new ass.
That's true. Credible Threat Gaming in chat says, yeah, agreed. What a bad move. Changed the entire gaming landscape. Blop One actually brings it another good point. This is a huge just on microtransactions as a whole. What I find a fail to all video games that you pay $30 to $60 and you pay $1,000 in microtransactions. Like you brought up the point,
it was over $2,000 initially to be able to get everything unlocked
in Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah, BF2 before they changed. Yeah, everything.
See, if you joined us late, you missed that conversation. Guess what? You got to get here on time. You can join in. Just saying. But no, it. NBA 2K18, I remember hearing, like, just every little thing was...
Oh, nickel and dime. You're paying for everything. You want a different haircut? $5.
Each time.
Yeah.
Each time. That's more than when I get a haircut. Hell.
Well, I don't know. If I go for a head shave, that's $30, but that's somebody with a razor taking time on my head.
And what's crazy about this as well...
Oh, actually, welcome, Blop. Thank you.
I'm cool. He...
Calm down, Cuphead fan.
Whoa, look, don't get me started here. But no, what happened with NBA 2K18, I think what was really interesting is the fact that most people may not have even heard about the microtransaction stuff. Maybe because it got completely overshadowed by Star Wars.
And the clusterfuck that that was.
But this was... I dare say this may have just been on the level of Star Wars, but the mere fact that it was... No offense to sports game fans out there, that it was NBA 2K18. It's a sports game. People love them, but as far as mainstream gamers, they're not focusing on sports games. Because another big one as well, surprise, it's an EA game, Need for Speed Payback. Had the same issues with microtransactions. That flew way under the radar, and I'm sure they were like, thanks, DICE, for keeping us under the radar. Now, granted, the studio got called out on, and they still had to go back and fix some of the stuff they did.
Yeah, the problem is I haven't bought a Need for Speed game since PS3 time.
Look, buy up, blop, I can't see. It's, look, the screen is small. I got glasses. Don't judge me. I'm sorry, buy up.
We
I
can't read you. Worth a shit. That's part of why we're doing Biggest Fail. No, but I don't know. The only reason I heard about any of this was David, one of the guys at work.
He's a huge 2K fan. I bet he wasn't happy too.
No, he was not. He was like, "Look, I'm okay with spending some money to make get some special things that make my character look cool," but he was not having this. And look, I get it. It's one of those things. Like, I'm not a fan of all this.
I agree. But yeah, it just. I don't know if that's just something that frustrates me, was just really like crazy or off the wall, just how little attention that game and that entire thing got as compared to the Star Wars or even the Need for Speed thing. And like that thing flew way under the radar. No one saw that coming. You never see it coming. We're going to keep making that joke as much as we can. And I really just think that that could stand on the level of the Star Wars stuff. Like we in this year of microtransactions, we talked about people like developers. I think I made a comparison to somebody like how far devs and pubs may have been just like, how far can we push you to the cliff before you fall off it? Before you're like, I'm a little uncomfortable now. And this was the year that a lot of devs tried it.
I would say this is the year that a lot of the devs tried it. And then this is the year that a lot of devs stayed tasteful with it. Look at the Persona 5 microtransactions.
I didn't know they had them.
Yeah, it's costume sets from prior games. That's it.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean,
it's all cosmetic is what I'm getting at. It doesn't negatively impact your game.
We're talking about Biggest Fail. We can talk about microtransactions real quick. It's just big thing is not, we've talked about it before on the show, but it's not the fact that microtransactions are bad, but that the way they are implemented is bad. And when you're, when you have microtransactions via loot box system, it's all cosmetic. You're not going to get anything game-changing stuff in your boxes. And that's what you're vying for. And you can pay for them if you want to, but you can also progress in game and get them like Overwatch, like a couple other games. Then sure, generally gamers either like it or don't have a problem with it. Just like, I'm indifferent. I don't have to like it, but cool. It's fine. It doesn't impact my gameplay. It doesn't make the other guy better than me. But when you're talking about nickel and diming for cosmetic pieces, $2, $3, $4 for a haircut, for gameplay tokens to get better characters,
to up your guy's stats so you're better than the other people going into this.
When you have to level, you have to pay to get a loot box, to get a chance that you might get a level 3 card so you could put into your weapon so you can level it up instead of actually playing the game. Like, that makes no sense. And again, like I said, it's the way those microtransactions are implemented, and I really think that a lot of devs, too many devs in general, one is too many, that were trying to push this envelope of basically how much money can we milk from you? And that was really, that's why a lot of microtransaction stuff is on our list this year for biggest fail. That's why Star Wars Battlefront 2 is probably and will probably be talked about as the biggest fail
for years to come.
In just gaming from the fall for a good long time. I don't know for years to come, but the 2018 is saying, hold my beer. We just started it.
No, that's a YouTuber from 2018 saying, hold my beer. Let's just be real. All right. Well, to be fair, it is only January.
That is true. But I think that's just, and buy up one in chats. It's free to play micros, understand, but games that are paid to play, you know, each his own. Like, they're free to play games I like, they're free to play games I eh. And it really depends, at least for me as a gamer, like, what's that implementation? How we're going to implement? If that implementation, if I feel it's good, yeah, I'll give it a chance. If it's not, you're done. I got it. Believe me, there are plenty of other games in 2017 for me to get involved with. I don't have time to be messing around with goofy games like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
So,
was that it?
That's all six. That's all six of the nominees for our Game of the Year 2017 award for biggest fail. Again, probably not the one you want to get.
Time to begin the culling.
You know what's funny? What's really nice, and this is the first time on stream on Twitch we're streaming this episode. This is probably like the easiest. One of the easiest categories we get to debate on.
Unlike the last thing we just recorded?
Yeah. Because there's no remorse. Like you feel bad. Basically, instead of like, what's the best? You're like, man, that wasn't as bad as that. You can leave. When you walk into the bar, you're really hoping that you get like, I'm walking out. I'm done. I don't have to be here. Or I'd stay in the bar. Or whatever analogy we're using. But regardless, at this point in time, what we have to do now is we're taking our six nominees and we're going to whittle them down to three and see who gets in our winner circle for biggest fail.
So I know the first one we can take off.
Which one?
Honestly, the Mass Effect Andromeda.
Mass Effect Andromeda, why?
What's up? All right, so I don't think that like issues with animation and rushing the game are necessarily the worst thing that's happened this year. And my reason with that is looking at the two above that on our list and seeing what's going on with those. It's not like, look, they fixed the animations and they fixed them pretty quick, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I think they may have relied a little too much on post-release updates.
Yeah. And yes, it did kill Mass Effect, but I'm going to be honest. Mass Effect wasn't that big of a franchise for me to begin with.
Oh, snap. He said it on stream.
I've said it on multiple recordings before this.
I love Mass Effect. And I what did, who, somebody make a quip on chat?
Yeah. Seth wants my blood now.
No, actually Mass Effect is saved. They killed it, but like it's going to a better place. I think that I agree. The Mass Effect Andromeda launch, as bad as that was, it wasn't nearly as bad as some of the other stuff going on this year.
You can call me a fool of a took all you want, but I think there are worse things that have happened this year than Mass Effect Andromeda, because it's still a game.
No, he's just making the comment because you don't like Mass Effect. That's his comment.
Look, whatever. You can take that. And look, all that means is more Mass Effect for you.
That's true. And I don't think it's killed the Mass Effect brand, but it has put it in hibernation for a good while until they get some new fresh ideas. One thing you could look at this as well is that this could make the Mass Effect game, the next one we get in the years to come, much stronger contender when it does come out. Because they'll definitely remember this moment. People will continue to ask them, hey, this next Mass Effect's really cool. You remember that Andromeda game? I mean, what lessons did you learn from that? And they're going to have to answer that.
If they learn a lesson. This is EA.
If they want to sell games, then they'll... It's BioWare. Yes, it's EA. They're the publisher. But BioWare
does what EA tells them to do. Let's be real.
I think BioWare's got a little bit of pull. I'm just going to toss it out there. I think they got a little bit of pull.
After all their studio change-ups, I think they have less pull than you think they have.
Regardless, Mass Effect Andromeda, you are spared the shame of being on our biggest fail list in the winner circle. Do we even call it a winner circle for this category? No,
this is the circle of shame.
Okay, what's the circle of shame? Okay, what's... Can I go ahead and take one off?
Yeah,
I think one can be saved. As much as... For me and for us, as much as microtransactions were the bane of our existence this year, I think NBA 2K18 microtransactions can leave because there are much worse microtransactions.
No, fails. There's a bigger offender here.
Yes, then there is than NBA 2K18. So I say that goes away because I don't think that had as huge of a thump as some of the other categories or nominees on here, Star Wars. So I
think the next one that needs to come off is the Nintendo Switch Online thing.
You think so?
Because I think the issue with the charity is bigger.
You're trying to work me. No. I kind of see what you're doing here.
Yeah, except, I mean, you know, we're both kind of on the same wavelength when it comes to that. Just be upfront and honest. Now, that being said, they're not charging people for online use until this goes live.
That's a good point. You don't actually have... that's a really good...
We're not going to pay for the service that we're using.
Right? That's a good... man.
So
okay, that's
it's not the best thing in the world. It's almost non-existent. But at the same time, we don't have to pay for what we do have.
Okay.
Whereas... I'm sorry, but the whole Orc DLC thing, that's going to live on in infamy.
Oh, man. It won't live on, but that was just a bright red spot. It faded away once they fixed it, but it was so mad. You make a good point about Nintendo Switch, that their online infrastructure is non-existent, but whatever they do have is not being charged. I can agree with that. I can definitely lean with that. Yeah, Darth Turner says the same thing. You feel like the Switch issue is smaller because it's free now and they really didn't use it other than Splatoon. Okay, I give it to you. I give it to you. You made a good case.
Now, so, you know what that means, though.
You're doing the typing. So, that means... That was actually fast. Again, this is the easier one to do. That means our nominees that are in the Circle of Shame for Biggest Fail Award are the Star Wars Battlefront 2 launch... the PewDiePie debacle, and the Shadow of War Orc DLC. So now that we have these three locked and loaded, they're in the Circle of Shame, one must be raised to a level of shame beyond all others as the winner of Biggest
Fail.
Their
shame has gone even further beyond. I had to say it.
Now we get to decide and deliberate and make the case. But like I said, most of the time, this category is usually pretty easy to call.
Let's be real. We know who is the worst offender of the year.
I'm trying... Hold on. Give me a second. Give me a second. Wait.
Okay. I'll wait.
I don't care about PewDiePie anyway. Sorry. I'm sure he does well, but I just don't...
He's
not for me.
Nah, he's hot trash, really. He's just a millionaire.
Shadow of War, Orc DLC. Like, you...
There's a button
sorry
to be pushed.
Sorry for the curse word. You fuck with charities, WB. You don't fuck with charities. You don't.
You shouldn't have pushed the Goku button.
But I will give them... I will cut them a break because they did end up coming back and saying... It's free.
Yeah, they screwed up, but they didn't screw up as bad as Star Wars Battlefront 2 launch. It is the biggest fail of the whole damn year, of the decade.
This is going to be fun this month. I like how chats are interacting. Like, you search your feelings. You know it to be true. You know what wins. My vote, my hat that I have to toss to is the Star Wars Battlefront 2 launch. That whole thing was a complete... complete cluster. It was.
There's no other way to describe just a steaming pile of shit that was that launch.
It's so crazy. It's Star Wars. It's Star Wars.
I was gonna buy it.
That up.
And then, I didn't because I don't support trash.
And it's like from what I've heard, I've listened to other podcasters, some friends of the show. I know one in particular, he's actually said, the game is good. He likes the gameplay. It's fun as far as like gameplay and playing the game. It's just that whole wrapping around the gameplay that's just bad, and just the way it was portrayed is awesome. I mean, they're still trying to figure out Star Wars Battlefront 2. I don't think they fully, chat can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think they fully given out or like put in the in-game purchases yet back in there yet.
Dark Thunder may know.
I'm sure. He would know.
He's our resident Star Wars lore nerd and all-around guru of things with the wars with stars in them.
But you know what? This is biggest fail. And you want to know why? We talk about all this about Star Wars and like how, oh man, this game was awful, it's horrible, da-da-da-da. Do you want to know why Star Wars Battlefront 2 launch is the biggest fail? One of the main reasons... I got to get up close. Let me tell you. Do you want to know why, people? Do you want to know why? It was because the freaking game... Didn't even mention this. This game was the second top-selling game of November 2017.
Why?
Behind Call of Duty World War II. After all of this... This huge debacle. This was like a rainstorm on, like, industry was like, oh my God, this game is done. It's over. Da 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 da. Star Wars Battlefront 2 was still the second best-selling game for the month of November 2017 across all platforms.
That's not cool, man.
What does that say about not only the industry, but us as gamers and consumers? What does that say?
It says that people are whores for anything with Star Wars on it.
Star Wars Battlefront 2 launch emphatically wins award for best for it, biggest fail.
It is the biggest, steamiest turd of the year.
Well, I got to get back. I got to calm down and get official now. So, in almost a no contest scenario, our winner's circle or circle of shame.
No, the circle of shame is
for is our the PewDiePie debacle and Shadow of War Orc DLC and the winner of Rocket Bunch's Game of the Year 2017 Biggest Fail Award is going to EA and the Star Wars Battlefront 2 launch. It was really bad. And believe me, that's not the last you've heard of us talk about this. We will be talking about it in one of our other categories later on.
Just remember, guys, leave it to EA to ruin one of your favorite childhood franchises. I guarantee it, they'll do it again.
It's we have some applause in chat. Well played, good job, well done. In that category always is easier when we talk about it.
Oh, guaranteed. Always.
But
hang on.
Oh,
I guarantee it.
Get out of here. We're done. Wrap this episode up. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. This is the first time we've actually streamed one of our Game of the Year conversations on Twitch. We really thank you guys for joining us in here and kind of giving some commentary as we deliberate. I wasn't really hard this time, but the next time when we stream might be a little bit more difficult to deliberate and narrow down. A lot more differing opinions there. But as always, guys, as we said at the top of the show, you can go to rocketpunchgo.com/GOTY. Go to our Game of the Year page. That way you can see all the coverage. You can see all of the nominees for all of the categories. You can see the dates at which those episodes are going to go live on podcast services. You can see the specific episodes that we will be streaming on Twitch here, twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive, every Sunday in the month of January at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. Again, if you want to be part of the full conversation, you got to get here at 8 because that's when we start. Deal with it. Put my glass down, deal with it. And you can also go there and jump on our People's Choice polls for Game of the Year. Make your voices heard. You can actually vote on the nominees and categories that we have. Make your voices heard. You can vote as many times as you want to. If you want to vote once a day, knock yourself out. You can vote once a day there. Submit it, especially with the last question on what your personal favorite game of 2017 was. You might have more than one, so guess what? Vote twice and you vote three times. You can talk about all the games you loved and enjoyed. At the end of the month, when we do ultimately have our final confrontation of Game of the Year 2017 for Rocket Punch, we'll be going through and pulling all that data from our People's Choice polls again. So rocketpunchgo.com/GOTY is the place you want to go to get all the Game of the Year coverage that we're going to be doing here at Rocket Punch. But without further ado, that's it. That's the end of our biggest fail episode that we have here. As we said before, definitely subscribe to your podcast service of choice to the Rocket Punchcast feed. We'll be sending out, this is one of 10 episodes. We're not going to be streaming all of them live, but some of them will be on podcasts only. So you definitely want to be tuned in to that and rocketpunchgo.com to see how our deliberations go and who wins in each of our respective awards here. But we appreciate you guys tuning in, joining us here. Thank you guys so much for your support. We'll see you next time.
Have a good one.